Knesset Masechta Chulin Daf Kuf Chav Vav. We will get on Daf Kuf Chav Hey on the base, 10 lines from the bottom. In the previous year, the Gemara had a discussion about Tumas Magen, Tumas Oil, if they're the same type of Tumah, two different types of Tumah. Rabbi Yossi had said that he considers them two of the very similar type of Tumah. And the basis we learned in the year was that Rabbi Yossi hold that Tumah Tumuna, a tumor that's buried, is not going to be bekava oil. It doesn't go all the way up. Ask the Mamma, not Tamra. From where does Rabbi Yossi ask the Gemara? From where does Rabbi Yossi take this position? It says, "Mamma, the Tanah, the Mishnah Masechta Olos teaches us Tevas Hamigdal. If we have a large chest that they had in it, different compartments." To put different food and drink into those special compartments. Sheyesh bepesach tefach. If the has a room that holds a tefach, and therefore it's a very tight area. If inside there's less than a tefach, then be tiyasa pesach tefach. Nor in the entrance and the exit of that small place that there is no room, there is no opening of a tefach. Tumah b'taycha, even though there's a tumah inside, the halacha is the tumah does not pass anyway. Tabay is tumah, but still, says the Gemara, midrabanan, Chazal said that the entire house is tumah. Says the Gemara, and in fact, as I saw the Achronim point out, if that's the case, why do we have to speak about the size of Tumah? If it's anyway going to be Tumah Midrabanan, and through learning the Gemara, we'll see the answer. Habayis Tumah. Tumah Babayis. But if there's Tumah in this home where we have this chest, Mash V'Toycha, whatever in the chest is Tahor. Neshedarach Tamah Lotzeis, the Tumah is going to go out of this chest through the rest of the house. And therefore, Chazal made a Gzeira that even though it hasn't yet gone out, it should have the ability to make the whole house tamei, because since ultimately, this is the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara, since ultimately the Tumah will be going out this way, once ultimately the Tumah will be going out this way, we consider the entire house tamei. Vein derech Tumah lekanis, but there won't be any Tumah entering into the entering into the house. And Tosfos explains that we are speaking about a chest which is osur lenachas, and therefore something that's meant, a chest which is meant to be kept stationary, the halacha tells us that such a chest tumah is not usually makabel tumah. Rav Yossi mitar, and Rav Yossi says that not only is the chest tahor when there's tumah in the house, but even the what when there's tumah in the chest, the halacha is it won't give off tumah. We explained that there is a concern that tumah will exit the chest and make the entire house tamei. But says Rabbi Yossi, you could take the tumah out of here by piecemeal, and if you'll take it out by piecemeal, it won't give off tumah. You could burn it inside the chest. So that's why the halacha is it won't give off tumah. And as I saw, the Chazon Ish points out that even though Rabbi Yossi is correct when he says that this is something that could be done, that we could cut up the tumah or have it go out that way, but it's something that's also to or burn it. It's also to cut up the tumah and it's also to burn it. So why are we can say that that's going to happen? So Chazon Ish says, because the person that will cut it up or burn it may not necessarily know that it's also to do so. And since he won't know that he's also to do so, he's going to do it and won't take it out. And therefore, says Tosfos, as the Chazon Ish explains, that if you have a whole mace in such a chest, then Rabbi Yossi would agree that we have to be machmer. The reason Rabbi Yossi would agree would to be machmer, because people know that when you have a whole mace, you have to be careful to bury it. It's only when you only have part of a mace, and people are not necessarily learned to know that when you only have part of a mace, you're not allowed to burn it or cut it up, and therefore it's possible that he will take it out. But then I saw that other Achronim explained this Gemara, because again, the premise of the Gemara, that people know that people somebody may burn it or cut it up, is so highly unlikely, how can we say that that's the concern? So he explains that if somebody will take out the entire chest, so then there won't be any way for the tumah to be exposed and what's in the house. If somebody will take out the entire chest, the tumah won't be exposed in the house. That's why Rabbi Yossi says we could be lenient. Continue the Gemara. For Ketani B'Seifa, as we continue learning the Sefer, that Mishnah, V'midah B'Pesach, if that chest was put at the entrance to the house, or Pesach L'Chutz, with the opening towards the outside, Tumah B'Toicha, and there's Tumah inside, Habay is Tar, the house is Tar. Because since there's no opening the size of a Tefach, and moreover, the opening is facing outside, so therefore we could be lenient. Tumah b'bayis, if there's tumah in the house, the loch is mash b'toicha tahor. The Tanei Lo, and again here the Braisa says about this Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Matar, Rabbi Yossi says it's tahor. So ask the Gemara, when we have this statement, the Rabbi Yossi says the tahor, what's the halacha? Hi. What does that mean? Ilema sefer, if we're talking about the sefer, the Mishnah, what a sefer is talking about, that they put this at the entrance of the house, and it's entirely in the house with the opening towards the house. Tanakama nami. So if that, and that's what he says is tor. So they ask the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi, and then Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi says it's tor. That if that's the case, that Tanakam nami kum tor miktar. The Tanakam also says it's tor in such a situation. So what is the machloikus? Says the Mara, the Kama Tanakam tumme betoicha. Says the Mara, the way to understand the machloikus is that we have tumme in the backs. Habai is tumme. It could be tumme for a number of reasons. Either Mishum the Terech Tumah Letzes, as we said earlier, because since the Tumah is going to be taken out of the chest, so therefore the Loch is the house is Tumah, because we expect the Tumah to be taken into the house, or it could be Tumah, because Tumah Tumuna, when you have the Tumah in the house, in the chest, the Kasa goes all the way up. So what we're saying is that by Tumah Tumuna, it is the opinion of the Tanakama, the Tumah Bekas V'Oilah. And that's why it's considered that the entire house is Tumah. And how do we know that that's the opinion of Tanakama? Explain to Mefarshim, the fact that the Mishnah went on to say that when the backs is in the house with the opening to outside, that's when the house is Tar. So that's why it's not Tzoyf Tumah Lotzeis. It seems that if it was less than of a tefach, even though the opening is to the outside, it still will be tamei because of tumah bekas. And to this, Rabbi Yossi says to the Tanakama, the comrade, the concern that you expressed of derech tumah lotzeis, that the tumah always goes out, so I'm not concerned about that, as we learned earlier, because yachol etzilach tzayin losaf mekamei, so it won't be a situation of soif, Tumah Lotzeis. And the concern of Tumah Tumuna Bekas, or the Karma Tumah Tumuna Bekas, and that's why the whole house should be Tumah, I hold Tumah Tumuna in a Bekas. So this is the proof that Rabbi Yossi does not hold that Tumah Bekas. But the Rishonim make a very important point. Even though Rabbi Yossi does not subscribe to what we're learning, that Tumah Tumuna Bekas, the Mefarshim point out that Rabbi Yossi will agree that if we have a mace buried in the ground, that there we do say that the tumah goes all the way up. But ask the Gemara, for Rami the Rabbi Yossi the Rabbi Yossi, we have a steer in the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. The Tanan, Mishnah Masechta Olay says, HaKelev she'ocha b'sar mace, if a dog ate from the body of a dead person with his tumah's oil, and as all the Rishonim point out, and this meat this part of the mace was not yet digested by the dog. So they say that means it was there for less than 3 days, because after 3 days, it starts to digest, it's digested. Umeis ha-kelvinat, a dog dies. Umutal al-skupa, and the dog is lying on the doorway. And his head, his neck is within the house. And the rest of his head and neck are in the house, and the rest of the body is on the doorway, outside, on the other side of the door. And there's a machlokes tanoim, what will be the status of the dog? And it's important to point out, we're talking about a dead dog. Because if the dog were alive, that would be a case that we've spoken about in previous shiurim of tuma belua. If there's tuma in a live animal, that tuma doesn't give off tuma. But here, the tuma, the dog is dead, and it has a kazayis of a mace in its body. So, says the Gemara, Rebbe Meir Omer. Rameh says, how do we view the situation? He says, Im yesh b'tzara tzavara p'tzayach tefach, if the width of the neck of the animal is a circumference of, has a circumference of a tefach, and the way the Rishonim explained this, if we, when we measure the entire, the width of a tefach, if we measure the entire circumference, it has three tefachim, then we could assume that the width is a tefach. Moreover, the Rishonim point out that we look inside the neck of this animal. So when we look inside the neck of the animal, there are bones and there's all organs in the neck. So how can we say it has a width of a tefach when it has all of these different parts in the neck? Shouldn't that take away from the required tefach width, which we're saying is necessary? To which the Rishonim reply, Rameh's opinion in a number of places in Shas is chaykikin lahashlim, that even though we don't have the required amount, the halacha views it as if we cut out the required amount. We, here too, the halacha will tell us that if we have a circumference of three, it's considered like we have a tefach width. Again, it says Rameh imyesh b'tzavarai peseach tefach, if there's a width of a tefach, maybe it's a toiva, and the neck is in the house, then the tumma will be considered as if it goes into the house. Imlav, but if it doesn't have that required width, any mavis tumma, then the house will not be tummy. Rabbi Yossi has a different way of looking at this. Ryan Kenegan and Mashkel of Nim. We look at where is the mashkel, where is the doorway. If the dog is within the house, on the inside part of the doorway, the bayis tamei. But if it's on the outer side, then the halacha was tahar. So Gemara is assuming that what does Reb Yossi mean to say? He's saying that the dog doesn't have the width of a tefach, and Reb Yossi says we have to look where is the actual of the body of the dog found. If it's towards the inside of this house, then the tumma is considered as if it's inside the house and the house is tumme. Even though the neck is not considered an oil, the it's considered tumma tamuna. And that's why he says it will be tumme. If it's in the outside of the house, it's not tumme. Rabbi Lazar Oimer, pifsh lefnim, if the mouth of the dog is inside the house and the tail's outside, the bay is tahor. The house will be tahor. But if, on the other hand, if the mouth is towards the outside of the house and the other side of the animal, the back side of the animal is towards the inside of the house, then the loch is that the bay is tahor, the bay is tamei. The shetuma yotze derech shulav, the mace is going to go out through the back of the animal. Now, of course, the question is that this dog is dead. And since this dog is dead, what do we say is going to go out through the back? This dog is not alive. It's not expressing waste through at the back. So the Sefer Mishnah Chroina asked this question, and he answers that since when the dog consumed this tumah, that was what this mace, that was the way it was supposed to be. The assumption is that it will be digested and go out of the body that way. So therefore, even though now that's not what's going to happen, because as we just said, the dog is not alive, it doesn't make a difference. We don't make a difference which way is the mouth, which way is the back, whether where is this vis-a-vis the mashkoif, and all situation is bias tamei. Whether if it's the mouth or the back that were in the house, he says that either way is enough way, is enough of a way that the entire house, the top of the house tamei. And the simple way Rashi explains this Gemara is because animals express through their mouth and through their and back, and therefore both are legitimate ways of treating the house as tamei. So here we see that if the Rabbi Yossi's opinion was that if the tumah is in the dog's body and the dog's body is within inside the house is tamei. My love, says the Gemara, what was the case there? So isn't this a case of tumah tamuna? And says my love, ain b'tzavarat pesach tamei kafakar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is speaking about as if when the width of the neck is not a tefach. So we see from here that Rabbi Yossi still says it will be tamei. Isn't this a clear proof that Rabbi Yossi's opinion, unlike what we've been saying in our shiurim, is that tumah tamuna bekas, that even though the tumah is inside the body of this, even though the tumah is inside this body, the halacha will be that it still spreads tumah to the whole home. Not like we've been learning about Rabbi Yossi's opinion, but rather we're learning now that tumah tamuna is by kas. So in order to answer this question, Amar Rava explains. Rabbi Yossi is not coming to disagree with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir differentiated if the neck is a tefach wide or not a tefach wide. Rabbi Yossi says that if the neck is not a tefach wide, there won't be any tumah here. Why won't there be any tumah? Because Rabbi Yossi holds a tumah tamuna is not bekas. But Rabbi Meir said that when the neck is a tefach wide, the halacha is that there will be tumah in the house. It tells us Rabbi Yossi that even under those circumstances, it won't necessarily be that the house is tumah. Because what Rabbi Yossi meant to say is, Roin es chalal tumah ketani. We look at the neck. That means if the neck has that width, the halacha is that it's that's the first thing to look at. And then we look at, Rabbi Yossi also looks at the where actually is the dog located. And that, says the Gemara, is what's meant to say. Rabbi Yossi b'tati plog. He argues on Rabbi Meir on both counts. What you said, Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Meir, what you said, that if the neck is wider, tefach, maybe it's a tumah. He says, I don't look at the neck. Anan, I don't look at a neck that has all sorts of things as being considered an oil. I have to see a pure tefach. And you said if it's on the doorway, it's tamei. Says Rabbi Yossi, well, we have to see where on the doorway it is. If it's in the inside part of the house, when it's in a pure oil, it'll be tamei. The halach is a bias tar. So according to this, Rabbi Yossi will hold tumah tamuna is not bekas. The Mishnah is talking about a case of oil. Oil means that it had a tefach wide, undisturbed. Says the Gemara, Ravacha b'rei Rav Masta b'hedya. He taught us explicitly that this is what Rabbi Yossi meant to say. That Rabbi Yossi Amar Roin es chalal tumah. We have to see that there's a pure oil. Our Gemara just discussed an interesting question. When something is found on the doorway, how does the halacha look at it? As if it's inside the house or it's outside the house? And this has many ramifications in halacha. One place is by the Korban Pesach. The Torah says, regarding the Korban Pesach, Loisoytzi, Menabayis, Menabasachutzi, you're not allowed to take anything from the Korban Pesach outside the house. And the question is, how do we look at something that's on the doorway? Another very important question is when we're talking about having a minyan. If somebody is standing on the doorway of wherever we're davening, could that person be part of the minyan? The Mishnah Berurah says that we look at where he's standing. And if he's standing within the doorway, the Mishnah Berurah says he's always considered within the doorway, which is not necessarily the same as what was saying by Tumah Tahara. And therefore, the Paiskim say that the rules of what how we look at a doorway by Tumah Tahara may not be exactly the same as the way we look at the rules for being mitzvah for a minyan. Says the Gemara, as we said at the introduction to today's shiur, the premise of Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that Rabbi Yossi holds that Tumas Maga and Tumas Oil are one and the same. Says the Gemara, Man Tana, who's the Man Da'am that disagrees with Rabbi Yossi, and says the Palagalei, and says that that Tumas Maga and Tumas Oil are two very different types of Tuma. Says the Gemara of Shimon, who it represents the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya, the Braisa, which speaks about Tumas Mace. The Loche is that we know that a mace gives off Tumba b'maga by touching it, b'masa, carrying it, the oil. We also discussed many times that something that comes off out of a mace has the same halacha. Says the Gemara, the Braisa says, Rav Shimon Omer, Sholosh Tumas Parshas Men a mace. There are three types of parts of a mace that come off the mace. And we just said that there are three ways that a mace gives off Tumah. Says the Bryce, the introductory comment, Stein b'kolach shlisheben, by every one of these types of byproducts, so to speak, of a mace, there will be two of the three types of Tumah, two of the three types of Tumah applicable. Bryce explains itself. Elohein, we've spoken of Moli Tarvid Rakov. A Moli Tarvid Rakov is a spoonful of the dust, the spoonful of the dust of a mace, says the Gemara. Etzem, the halacha is, that's one type of tumah. Then we have a tumah called etzem kasaira, a bone of a nifter. And then we have the goyel v'doifik. Rashi explains that the goyel v'doifik means the different parts of the coffin. And the Rishonim explain when Rashi says, we're speaking of the different parts of the coffin, it's only as long as the Tosfos, as long as the mace is in the coffin. But once the mace is in the coffin, the special tumah that we're attributing to that doesn't apply. The Rambam differentiates between what type of material was used for the coffin. So says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Molot Tavir Rakev, the tumah of the spoonful of the mace dust has metamba masva oil, then metamba maga. The reason it's not metagum maga is because you can't touch all of the dust at the same time. And again, Rashi goes back to an issue that we discussed the other day. The Gemara's opinion is the ein noigeya v'chayzav noigeya. Even if you're going to be touching different parts one after the other, all at the same time, the Gemara now holds that ein noigeya v'chayzav noigeya. So that's why there's Tumas Mas and oil, not Tumas Maga. V'heichem Maga, where is the Tumas Maga applicable by Meis and Machsben, by the other types of Tumah, by Etzem Kesoyer or Goyel V'Doifik. Etzem Kesoyer has Metama Maga B'Masa, V'heim Metama B'Oil. And the reason is, that's a halacha l'mosh m'Sinai, that there is no Tumas Oil by Etzem Kesoyer. V'heichem Oil, where is the Tumas Oil? By a Moli Tarvit or by Etzem or by a goyel v'doifik, machs mehen. Goyel v'doifik, when we speak about the coffin, metama b'maga, it's metama b'oil, v'ein metama b'masa, there's no tumas masa. V'eich masa, where is there tumas masa? Says the Gemara, em'eich mehen, and one of the other cases that we just mentioned. We learned in the Mishnah, the kulas nevela, the kulas asheretz, if somebody touches one of those bones, when they're completely enclosed, the tar. If they have a hole, so you could see the marrow that's inside, then there will be tumas maga. And as we learned in the Mishnah, Tumas Maga and Tumas Masa travel together. And therefore, if there's Tumas Maga, there's going to if the marrow is exposed, we'll have both Tumas. And if not, we won't. Tana Bonam. So begins the Braisa. The Torah writes, Hanegei b'nevosa yitman ha'erev. B'nevlosa means the actual meat. V'loi be'akulas tuma. From here we learn that if you touch a completely enclosed bone, there won't be applicable. Yocha afil k'shenikva. We would think that this halacha applies even if it has a hole. Tamalema hanegei yitma. From here we learn, esh efshaliga, something that's touchable, tamei. But if it's completely enclosed and therefore not touchable, it's tahor. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Reb Zeira Labaye Elameata Behema Ba'ira, if you have an animal in its skin, loitatama, because you can't reach the meat, it's completely enclosed by the skin. And we've been speaking about Tumas Nevela, by a dead animal, and not saying that it has to have, that it has to be exposed, the meat has to be kasir. Says the Gemara, answers the Gemara, Puchazi, let's look. Kam nekovim yesh ba. Every animal has many holes in its body. So therefore, even though you didn't make a hole, it has already the tumas maga because the meat is somewhat exposed. Ask the Gemara another question. A kidney, b'chelva, when it's completely uncovered by its chelev, because it's completely covered by the chelev, answers the Gemara. There's so many different strands that come out from the meat of the kidney. So you are able to access the meat even though it's covered by chelev. Whereas by these cases, the kulis, it's impossible when it's completely enclosed to access the meat. It's interesting that I saw that the Sefer Lev Aryeh points out that the Gemara does not use the same wording twice. First, the Gemara said the words puchazi, and then the Gemara used the words tochazi, and explains what's the difference in wording. It says the first time the Gemara was talking about an animal with the holes that there are in an animal. And clearly he indicates that an animal has many holes. And all of us could see those various holes in an animal. So that's why the Gemara uses the strong wording of Puchazi. However, when the Gemara speaks about the kidney, so who sees the kidney so often with the various pieces of meat that the Gemara suggests come out from the kidney? That's something that's not often seen. That's why, therefore, the Gemara uses the wording tochazi. You have to go out of your way to look for it. Tochazi, you won't necessarily automatically find that. Says the Gemara, by Rav Oshia. Ask Rav Oshia. If somebody has this kulas tuma, which was saying there's no tuma maga, tumas masa, if the meat is not accessible, but you decided that you're going to make a hole in this kulas, you didn't make it yet. Do we say until you actually make the hole, it's not considered as if it has a hole? Or since it is already your intention to make that hole, the halacha views it as if it has the hole. Answers the Gemara, had the Pashta. He answered the question, the mechusin chivalak, mechusin dami, as soon as you have an intention to make the hole, it's considered as if it's exposed. And I saw that the Sefer Shoshanim L'David explains where does the Gemara take this opinion from. He says this whole halacha is learned from the word yitma. Yitma is lashon asa, the future. So we see, even though right now it's not tamei, but there is an intention to make it tamei, that is enough that it should, to make a hole and make it accessible to tuma, it should be enough. The Mishnah now continues to talk about tumas shrotzim. There are different shrotzim that lay eggs. And our Mishnah discusses a sheretz that lays an egg. At what point is it considered a sheretz and what time not? Says the Mishnah, Beyetz, Sheretz, Merkemes. If the Sheretz laid an egg that it has already begun to form, Tahira, because it's completely completely enclosed. However, Nikva, Kalshu, if now it has a slight hole, then the halacha is tame, it's considered as if it's exposed, and therefore it's tame. Moreover, even though this egg never really hatched yet, but still it's considered like dead, and since it's considered like dead, there is already tuma sheretz. Continues the Mishnah, achbar. The achbar is a sheretz that wasn't born from a father and mother. It's created, they believe, from the dirt itself. Half of it is still is already basar. And so the other half is still earth. The person that touches the basar part is tamei. And the person who touches the adama part is tar. Even if he touches the earth part, which will eventually turn into meat, into basar, it's already tamei, even though right now it's not in that status. Tana Rabbana begins the brisa. The pasuk says Eila tamei lechem b'chol asheretz. The pasuk says hatmeim. The rabbis, the teachers, the beis asheretz and the kulas asheretz are also tamei. Yochel afilu le'rikma. We would think that this halacha applies even if they didn't yet begin to form into a sheretz. Tamalayim, the pasuk says hasheretz, and we learn from the pasuk mas sheretz. When the pasuk says the word sheretz, it means shirokam, that it started forming into a sheretz. Af beish a sheretz, the halacha is rikma once it looks like a sheretz. Yochel afilu nikva. Maybe even if it doesn't have a hole, it's completely covered. Tamaloimer, the pasuk says, "Kalin degeber ma'isum yitmena aref," and the pasuk teaching us, "Esha efshaliga," something which is accessible, it has a hole, tamei. Efshaliga, but if it's not accessible, it's completely closed, tahor. Says the Gemara, "How much of a hole is considered a hole?" V'kama nekivasa. Says the Gemara, kechut asara, even the amount of space to put in a hair, efshaliga kechut asara, because you could reach it with that chut asara. So it's interesting that Rashi points out that the word atmeim was taught earlier to teach us that the shuman, the various liquids that come out of a sheretz, are tamei. So, and we also learned arisayim kipsorim, and why, and now we're learning another halacha about the beis sheretz. And the question is very obvious. How can we learn so many different halachas off the same din, of the same pasuk? So Rashi says that the rule is that whenever we have so many halachas, we have so many limudim, but they're all equally justifiable, then the halachas, we learn all of them. Says the Mar Achba Shechetzia, we learned about a case where Achbar is half Bas and half Adama. So the Mishnah says it depends which part you touch. And Yehuda says if it's going to be Bas, it's Tomei, even when it's Adama. However, says Rabbi Shuban Levi, when the Tanakama says that when you touch the Basar, you will be considered like you touch the Sheretz, you're Tomei. V'ush Ritzot Apnei Kulai, that there's already Basar from the top to the bottom of the Sheretz. Says the Gemara, Ik the Masnoi Sefer, but there's a different version. That even if you touch the earth, if it's a place where Basa will be, you are Tamei, to which Rabbi Shuban Levi says, when did that Rabbi Yehuda din ply? Says the Gemara, man the Masnaya Reisha, the one that said about the Reisha, that the Tanakhama did not say that the Basa is Tamei, even though you're actually touching the Basa, unless it was, you have this earth, you have the meat all the way up and down, a row of meat. Kashkin HaSeifa, where you're touching that Adama, the halacha will be, Rabbi Yehuda will require that you have to have at least a strip of meat up to from top to bottom. Mandan Masnaya HaSeifa, but the one that says this halacha on the Seifa, since you didn't touch basar, so that's why Rabbi Yehuda at least demands that you have a strip of basar. Aval reisha, and the reisha we were speaking about, the case where you actually touch basar, the halacha will be afgav deloy hishritz. So the Gemara spoke about a type of mouse that is half flesh and half earth. Then we learned the machlokes now between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakam says if you touch the basar part, your tamei. Rabbi Yehuda says even under certain circumstances, if you touch the earth part, if it was hishritz apnei kulay, if one part has completely developed into flesh, the halacha is that your tamei. The Rambam, passing the Shaila, passing the Yehuda, as explained like the second version, that only the flesh part of the mass transmits truma, but if one side is fully developed, then the entire mass, including the undeveloped section, develops truma. The Yamsha Shleim and Kesef Mishnah ask, why does the Rambam passing like Yehuda instead of the Tanakama? Says the Rikurkis that since Rav Shua ben Levi explained in our Gemara the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, so that's a proof that the halacha follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Another pshat that I saw that the Rikurkis suggests is that the Rambam had a different girsa, according to which Rabbi Shua ben Levi says that Rabbi Yehuda did not come to argue with the Tanakama. There's no machloikis. Rabbi Yehuda is just explaining the opinion of the Tanakama. And as we said in the Mishnah already, Rashi explains that this mouse does not reproduce in a normal fashion, a father and a mother, but it develops an earth. The Rambam writes that such a creature is very uncomical, is very not understandable. There's no way to understand such a creature. But he says, since in the time of Shas, it was well known, therefore you have to be concerned about it. And the Tiferes Yisrael writes that he read about such a creature that was found in Egypt that develops from the earth and sees, and one could see part of the body of the animal in the earth and the rest of the body already sticking out. So it seems that they were familiar with something that was half earth, half in the half body, until it became completely body. And then I saw that they discuss where they had things that grew from trees and were partially connected to the tree and partially looked like a creature, like an animal or whatever.